Miami.
Of course.
John and Yoko got married, and the first confirmed case of death from AIDS, though it wasn't officially diagnosed until 1984, which is really amazing.
Wow.
Hurricane Camille occurred in 1969. So some good and some bad back
really?
From the days. But, yeah, it was an exciting year. And the Broadcasting Act, as you mentioned, was 1967, which really KIOS, Omaha Public Schools at the time, was really in the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
You know, getting off the boat there.
Yeah, there's something over 900 public radio stations in the United States right now. But in 1969, there was only something closer to a little bit less than 100. 90 of them got together in 1969 and founded National Public Radio. And KIOS was one of those stations, even though we inked the deal to air NPR programming in 1971. October of 1971, to be precise. And we are joined in the studio right now by Barb Naughton, who is in charge of making sure our fundraisers go okay, go good, go well.
Better than okay, I hope.
And it just so happens that she was a student at Central High School in 1969 when the station was founded. So we brought her in to tell us a little bit about what Central High School and, by extension, what Omaha was like.
Well, thank you for this dubious honor of being the oldest person in the room. 1969 was a very interesting year mm-hmm. for Central students. More than once was the time that I came to school in my car, got out of the car in the parking lot, and was told to go back.
Really? Why?
To your car and go back home.
Why?
Because there were race riots going on.
Wow.
And Central High School is a very old school.
Right.
And at the time I was there, we had wooden floors and wooden lockers. And kids were setting fires in wastebaskets in classrooms and
wow.
in the gym. So it was a tumultuous time. The race riots of 1968 that mm-hmm. A friend of mine wrote a book about called The Omaha Rhythm Boys carried over to 1969 and it almost reached a head because it was right there, downtown mm-hmm. high school. And, you know, we were a very diversified high school for 1969. And so there were conflicts.
Hmm. And what was your exposure to that? I mean, if you managed to get to go to class that day, I mean, what were you seeing as you walked down the hallways?
So they tried as well as they could to make things very normal. And
right.
for the most part, a lot of us weren't as aware of what was going on as other segments or sections of the school. By segments, I mean somewhat divided by race, even though we were diversified.
Mm-hmm.
But by sections of the school, I mean, you know, in the sports area and the gym area is where really there was, you know, energy and free time and, you know, a lot of adrenaline, shall we say.
Yeah.
That's where a lot of the high energy and kind of area was that you were told to maybe stay away from.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's really remarkable. I suppose, though, I shouldn't be surprised. I mean, of course, I mean, for me, I came through a little bit later, so mm-hmm. to speak, and it's really interesting to see how significantly that's changed in 50 years from what could have been literally a powder keg to a community that, coming from the outside, I found to be almost painfully polite place,
mm-hmm.
and yet
mm-hmm.
there was this tension.
There was. And, you know, add to that the fact that there was a Vietnam War going on.
Right.
And there was a draft going on.
Yeah.
So kids my age, guys my age, were all really afraid of having the wrong birth date.
Hmm.
Because your birth date could be, you know, November 28th, 1949, and you would be number 365 in the draft. But the guy that was born a day before you, that was your best friend, got drafted.
Mm.
So that was a lot of tension as well, because not one of those kids wanted to go to war in Vietnam.
Right.
But they didn't have a choice.
Right.
So the draft was also very high on our radar screen.
Well, even considering all of that, what was normal for you at Central in 69?
Well, my mother would be happy to tell you that she tried to provide as normal a life as possible twin daughters. I have an identical twin. And, normal back then was girls could not wear pants or jeans to school. There was a dress code.
Mm-hmm.
I actually was on a high school fashion board, and my uniform for the fashion board was culottes. I could not even wear culottes. It was bizarre because a year or two later, they threw out, all dress codes for mm-hmm. kids because it was civil rights, and, it was infringing on their civil rights to have a dress code.
Well, it's hard to march in a skirt, I suppose.
Well, yeah. So anyway...
Sorry.
So that was part of it. It was still a very puritanical time. Mm. I look back at my yearbook, and I did just have a 50th class reunion, and hairdos were still
taller.
Let's put it that way. That's right. A little back combing was going on.
Right.
The guys wanted to wear facial hair, but they weren't allowed. I had a really good friend who got in trouble for wearing mutton chops for 3 days in a row.
Just mutton chops?
Mm-hmm.
Long sideburns that he got in trouble for.
Right, right.
That's astounding to me.
Yeah.
Absolutely astounding.
And certainly no long hair. I mean, you were told to get it cut.
That explains a lot from my family, because my father drives him crazy, long hair and facial hair. Talk about you were on the reunion committee for the Central High reunion, the 50th that just passed.
I guess you heard about that, huh, Ken?
Yeah, it was. I can appreciate with all the anniversary and birthday things going on how much work that is. But you had a fantastic turnout. Tell me what a 50th reunion is like. I mean, that had to be a lot of fun. You had just a tremendous amount of people to show up.
We did. We had over 200 people in our class come up. Come in, and a lot of them from out of town. So that was very gratifying. And, one of the things we were most proud of is that we pulled from all neighborhoods. We didn't have just one group of people from one clique or one neighborhood. The adults that came to this reunion when we, I refer to them as kids because we became friends as kids. We're still friendly. We were a very homogenous class, and I think, again, that pressure of race differentiation and the Vietnam War brought us closer together. We were united as a group in our the pressure we were under, mm-hmm. and also the accomplishments that were being made. I mean, we landed a man on the moon, as mm-hmm. you said. The music was the 60s, and like it or not, it was an age of musical revolution, and it wasn't just the Beatles, and it wasn't just the Rolling Stones. It was the Beach Boys, and it was the Byrds, and it was California music, and all of those things were very exciting, and we all were experiencing it at the same time, so it was a bringing together of joy and love for things that you had and an appreciation of what you had, but at the same time, being scared that you were going to lose it.
Really? I mean, it seems odd looking back now from my perspective, seeing all these things that are kind of part of the landscape and how revolutionary it must have been in 1969 to see some of these things. I mean, to me, Glenn Campbell is Rhinestone Cowboy, and he always has been. But, I mean, this is the song, this is the period where he's doing, Gentle on My Mind and Galveston, which we might very well hear. I do have it queued because I love a lot of different kinds of music. And if you looked at the playlist I put together, just in case we needed it, just in case we wanted to use it, it's kind of diverse. I mean, a little bit of soul, a little bit of R&B, some what you might call proto country rock from Creedence Clearwater Revival and instrumentals and things like that. I mean, mm-hmm. it really does seem as though all bets were off in terms of music, at least, perhaps even culture, but certainly music, and people were free to experiment.
Right. So culturally, we were, again, like I said, a little bit, you know, puritanical because we couldn't wear pants. And believe me, the minute I got to college, I was wearing jeans every day and, you know, burning other accessories that we became famous for. But, you know, that was all part of this revolution. Mm-hmm. And even though you're somewhat, you have a certain discipline in high school because you have to. At the same time, when we had exciting times, they were exciting, like going to state basketball tournaments and, you know, football team victories and, you know, just really fun things like that.
Yes, because I've heard football. I've heard football is important around here
in Nebraska.
In Nebraska, a little bit.
Yeah. So it was a very exciting time.
Well, let me bring this around to the subject at hand, and that's, did you have any kind of indication that they were doing something was brewing in the basement of Central High School?
Oh, as far as the radio station goes?
Yeah.
There were rumors that...
rumors, really?
You know, there was a whole class, in my class, and a group of boys. I don't think there were too many girls, or if any. You know, it was... I considered it kind of part of the theater thing, but it really wasn't anything that had to do with theater. But the theater and makeup areas and classrooms were also in the basement of Central. They were in the lowest level. So that's where the radio station was. So I kind of grouped them all together.
It was room 29, to be exact.
Was it really?
It was room 29.
I'm not sure I ever went into room 29, but Central's a big place.
Well, and from what I understand of it, it was next to, well, let's see. I've heard it was next to the weight room. Now, I've been meaning to go. I'd love to go to Central and see where it was and see how much of it might still kind of be there in terms of the architecture, maybe more than anything else, because obviously the machinery and the people, obviously, are long since gone. But it, I think it's now the room that it's next to, I think, is the ROTC room?
It all was down there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know people there, so we could probably go get a tour.
take a few pictures.
Barb wears purple a lot to work.
Yeah, I do.
She's got people.
She
it's in my blood.
She does. So but it didn't pique your interest other than, that's a thing.
yeah, exactly. There were so many other diversions that I had that, you know, boys.
Well, yeah, I guess.
You know, things like that. What am I going to wear to prom? Not to sound superficial, but yeah, I was kind of superficial. And, you know, you look back on that and think, oh, wow, was I ever superficial? But, you know, I was high school.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're a teenager just trying to find their way in the world, trying to find out who they are.
Yeah.
And so that means kind of trying on different identities and seeing which one fits, not to get too philosophical right now. But it's interesting how that has, even that, something as basic as that has kind of carried through to the modern day, even as everything around it has changed over the course of, dare I say, half a century.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean,
that is very frightening for me.
Well, I was going to put it remarkable, amazing, but you know, frightening.
Well, it is. It is all those things, Todd. And again, not to overdo the reunion thing, but that's what we all realized when we got together. Who cares who dated who, what group you were in, what you wore to prom? It's important that we're still friends. We can relate on a lot of different levels, and we all really came together in love.
What was your, just out of sheer curiosity, what was your favorite music back then?
Well, I was a Beach Boy person.
Wow.
I really was. I had a huge appreciation for the Beatles. But, you know, by then the Beatles had been around a while.
Yeah.
And they were almost on their second wave. Mm-hmm. So to me, you know, a fresh sound was always very exciting. And, you know, I listened to a lot of different things. I listened to some country then. I listened to a lot of rock and roll. And, yeah, I listened to a lot of things. But I'd say the Beach Boys.
Was there anything in terms of culture or music that was coming out at the time that really kind of went, huh, that's going to have legs?
Boy, you mean music-wise?
Well, music-wise, movie-wise, TV-wise.
Well, Easy Rider hit me very hard.
Really?
Yes, because it was so different than any other movie I'd ever seen when I saw it. And the shocking end.
Mm-hmm.
And, wow, this is a cultural sea change. It really, really was. And I had heard, I guess maybe from reviews or something, that this movie is going to have to be watched because, you know, it's going to change the way movies are made. And you just kind of go, oh, yeah, right.
Hmm.
But it really did. it really did change the way movies were looked at and made. And, you know, you think of what the Hollywood Cleopatra and, you know, even The Graduate that came out a year before.
Yeah.
It was a studio movie. It wasn't like Easy Rider.
That's I hadn't really thought of that. That's really quite remarkable, considering how we kind of went into the 70s with that almost an earthier tone to everything. And it finds its feet with people like Dennis Hopper and Peter Fonda, Omaha native Peter Fonda.
Exactly.
I should add.
So again, made in the middle.
Yeah, really.
But, you know, it grows organically. Mm-hmm. And so that is what happened.
Well, and then as you kind of, once you graduated and got out into the real world, did the station ever really kind of show up on your radar?
Well, because my brother, a few years later, yeah, he was on the radio.
And really?
You know, I was in Lincoln in school, but I'd hear from my mom, oh, your brother was on the radio again today. And I'm sure he lives in Seattle now, and I told him to listen in, but I don't know if he can. But yeah, that brought to mind that, oh, yeah, that's right, we have that radio station that started. But you see, again, the guys that were in my class that graduated in 69 never got on air, mm-hmm. which leads us to my friend Howard Epstein.
Yes, Howard Epstein, which, I have to say, this, I think, is I've heard a lot of different little anecdotes and stories over the last few weeks and months. I think his is my favorite, largely because, thanks to you, Barb, and thanks to you, Ken, we actually had brought it full circle. We actually completed the story, and not long ago. So let's take a moment and give this story a listen. This is an interview Ken did with Howard Epstein. How long ago was it? Just last week?
Just last week.
Just last week. We would have loved to have had him with us, but unfortunately he was unable to be with us live today. So we did the next best thing and sat down and had a nice discussion with him. So we'll start that now.
Okay, fall of 1968, starting your senior year. What do you remember about being a student at Omaha Central?
A student at Omaha Central in 1968. We had just come through a very tumultuous summer. There were race riots. We had the Robert Kennedy got shot, and it was a time where we were anxious to graduate from high school. We were going into our senior year, and the halls of Central High School were still for academics, but there was an undertone of social unrest, racial unrest, and it was not as easy to go to school as it was in prior years.
So tell me about the radio portion of this, the radio classes, a startup back then for Central, and you all were basically the test tube experiment, so to speak.
We were. I had been interested in journalism. I took journalism during my junior year, and then my senior year I was the editor of the sports section of the yearbook, the O book. And I really had an interest in journalism, and there was an opportunity. We heard that the Omaha Public Schools were planning to do a radio station, and it was going to be based at Central High. There was a teacher by the name of Mr. Price, I believe his first name was Jim, and he was an executive and veteran broadcaster in the radio business and wanted to use his expertise to teach the students. So it was a great opportunity for us to learn the radio business, and we were promised that we would learn all the basics, we'd have to go through the FCC protocols to get our licenses and so on, and that we'd be able to be on the air probably the second semester, which would have been sometime between January and May of 1969.
So 69, you're getting ready to graduate. You're all schooled on the radio thing. You're ready for air, and what happens?
No equipment. We waited and waited for the equipment. Mr. Price kept telling us it's coming. It's going to be here. Let's do a few other things to prepare. Let me do as much as we can with what we have to show you all how this should all work. And then graduation came, but the equipment didn't.
50 years later, did you think you'd be sitting here with your shot on the air? You're really kind of a founding father of KIOS-FM.
I guess so. And it's nice to get on the radio after 50 years.
Okay, here, I got something for you. Go ahead and read that.
You're listening to 91.5 KIOS FM, a community service of the Omaha Public Schools, celebrating 50 years of broadcasting. I'm Howard Epstein.
How'd you do?
I think I did all right. I might get an A. We'd have to ask Mr. Price.
Well, what have you seen in the last 50 years when it comes to changes in radio?
When we were getting started, FM was really in its infancy as a commercially viable radio. It had been, as I recall, it was mostly opera and symphony and some really things that were not part of the normal mainstream. AM radio was the big thing back in the 1960s when I was in high school. The station here in Omaha was KOIL, Mighty 1290, and it had all the rock music and the top 40 tunes and so on. That's what most of us listened to. I recall our parents listening to KFAB and WOW, both of which were more of a general information. It was radio music. It was news. It was weather, sports, and just kind of a mixture of all different things. Nowhere near the talk radio that we have today. A lot different.
So will you come back for our 100th?
If I'm still around, send me an invitation. Among the things we learned in the class were how to fill dead space in between sentences. We went through a lot of classes where we tested our voices and we recorded ourselves. And we learned not to say and like and well and all the things that people use for fillers when they do their speaking. I think that helped me as I went through life and I was comfortable with public speaking, dealing with people, and I believe that it helped me communicate better as I was working my way through the world.
And you've done pretty well for yourself.
Yeah, done all right.
So do you find yourself, as you listen and have listened over the years, do you find yourself a critic?
Yes.
What do you like and what do you dislike about radio today?
I like the fact that there are so many options. You can listen to so many different stations, so many different formats. Talk radio has pretty well taken over the AM radio waves, and there's too much of it, too much opinion, and not much news, and I'm afraid people are taking opinion to be fact, and that's scary. I do like the fact that there are venues for almost every taste in music, taste in entertainment, viewpoints for darn near every political viewpoint you can have. So I like that. Technology has been great, too. You can access things that you could not access 50 years ago.
It really is amazing how much you can access, as Howard pointed out. That's such a great story. A missed opportunity that we managed to kind of, in a small way, kind of help fulfill. And I'm very glad that we did.
Yeah, great perspective. And just so you know, things haven't changed much in the 50 years in regards to equipment that you have to plan on at an extra month to be delivered. So we've kind of been through the same thing over the last year. But Howard's a great guy, great perspective, and it was fun talking to him.
Oh, yeah. It was absolutely great to hear someone who was there literally below the ground floor. I mean, and almost made it. But for the delivery of a few pieces of gear, that just, I don't know how I would have been able to handle it myself. But yeah, an absolutely fantastic story. We're gonna take a moment or two here and play a little bit of music, and we're going to jump forward a little bit, get a little bit closer to now, and talk a little bit about the station coming through the 70s and through the 80s. We'll get through the 90s, but we're going to focus primarily in the last 20 years because it seems as though there's been a lot of really significant change in the last 20 years. We're going to bring in, because I'm seeing him sitting out there, a familiar voice to many of you who has been here for a good 13, 14 years, even as we speak. He's the voice that woke you up in the morning for over a decade here on public radio in Omaha, and we'll have him on here in just a moment. But first, let's keep it nice and light and, dare I say, sweet.
begin to knowing, but then I know it's growing strong. Wasn't the spring, and spring became the summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along? Hands, touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you. And it don't seem so lonely. We fill it up with only two. And when I hurt, hurting runs off my shoulders. How can I hurt when holding you? Touching warm, reaching out, touching me, touching you.
Neil Diamond, Sweet Caroline. You are listening to 91.5 KIOS FM, Omaha Public Radio. We're celebrating 50 years, half a century of public radio in Omaha.